Well, amen. I think we've got some of the, it doesn't matter who is called on to help take up the offering, we got some of the cutest kids around here, amen. Parents are like, yeah, got it from me. Got some advice, Bob. You have to know when to hold up. Know when to walk away. All right. Good afternoon. I know. I know, I agree. It's a great, great thought that Daniel got to see, a great vision. All right, let's see. We missed this last week because I was being lazy, I think, wasn't I? Immutable, we're talking about immutable. Anybody know what immutable is? That's one of my favorite.
Non-changing.
Anybody else? Well, let's look at what the verse says up here. This is Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Immutability, God never changes. Aren't you glad about that? I mean, just think if he changed. He might get up in the morning and have a bad mood. And we have that tendency to change, don't we, a lot. And we're like chameleons. And God is just right there. Whatever he was yesterday, he is today. Whatever he is today, he's going to be tomorrow as well. I'm trying to adjust. I had to go in and get, I didn't want to bring this up, but I had to go in and get cataract out of this eye and get one out of this one this coming Thursday. So these glasses are what I had before I had the surgery, so I'm wearing them. So the first eye here they did, yes, last Thursday, it sees really clear and everything's bright. Man, it's just an incredible difference. This one, it's darker and blurry, and so when I put these on, it corrects this guy, but it makes this one blurry. So the good one's blurry, and the bad ones can see, you know. So I'm driving over here to church today, I'm thinking, you know. So Thursday I get this one corrected, so hopefully they'll join together, and then I have to go in and get, they'll give me new glasses to readjust, because I'm going to need glasses for still reading here. And Yeah, the patch thing there. So, anyway, so we are in a really well-known lesson here. Everybody knows numbers 13 and numbers 14, correct? I could call on anybody and tell you and ask you what it's about, and you'd be able to tell me, right? And but this is a very familiar story when Israel rejects God's plan. And in this story, let me see what I got here. I haven't looked at it for a while here. This is day one. We're going to talk about the spies give an evil report about the promised land. Imagine, if you would, before we get into this, just for a minute, God has promised that he's going to give them this place. Back when he redeemed them, you remember that? And takes them out of Egypt and keeps reminding them all the way through he has this place for them. They are now at the border. They even send spies to go in to check it out. And they don't get what God wanted them to have. And it wasn't because God didn't want them to have it. It's that they just, well, we're going to have to read the story here, all right? Because I wonder if there's a blessing that you and I are missing out on in our life here. That there's somewhere that God had something he prepared for us. He's been talking about it. And when we get there, we're not much better than the Israelites in questioning whether this immutable God, the Ancient of Days, even knew what he was talking about, you know. So I want us to begin by looking at day one here. The spies gave an evil report about the promised land. Now, we can't read all the scripture because there's a lot here. But let's begin here, if you would, with me in Numbers chapter 13. And we'll begin with verse 1. Then I'll kind of skip through like a rock on top of the water. And notice what it says here in verse number 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," could you imagine God talking to you? Because he is. Amen. He's speaking to us right now. What did he say? Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers, ye shall send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. As we always read these first few verses, we always see that God commands something very, very precisely, very, very clearly. And each and every time, Moses has always received the command and done exactly what he's supposed to do. That's what we want to be, amen? We want to just do what God's word says. We go past all the names that are there, and unless somebody wants to read that part, and we jump past all the 12 names, plus their fathers and their fathers' fathers, and we get down to verse number 17. They all are standing in front of him, and it says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. Now he's given clear instructions. And see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And ye be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up, searched the land, and the wilderness, from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. Verse 23, jump down to there. And they came into the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. Verse 25, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and it surely floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Verse 28, a change here. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land though through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. Excuse me. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in theirs. So let me ask a couple of questions, and we'll open up for the floor here for discussion on this chapter. But what kind of report did the spies bring back? Who wants to start us? Bob. A very, very negative report. And then was this the right attitude for the men to have? Peggy, no, it was not the right attitude. And then thirdly, it says, what was the Israelites' response to the negative report? Anybody on this side? Anna? Huh? They were afraid, and rightly so. So with that being said, let's open this up because there's a lot in here. Who wants to get us started on a thought of what you saw when we were reading? And remember, what you're thinking right now is what you should be sharing, Because what you share may trigger somebody else to be a little bit more bold to share something that would be a great insight for us all to hear. So who wants to start us off? Don.
I remember messages from our home pastor, California, years ago, talking about giants in the Old Testament and giants in our day, and so forth. And the choice is, are we going to believe God or are we going to believe our eyes?
Okay.
Is God able to take us through this or not?
Okay, so there's faith and sight we see here, right? Okay, good. What else? Who else?
He was their God. He led them out of Egypt. He brought them through all those trials in the desert. Nobody said, God, can you take us through here? Nobody even bothered to ask God. They were just willing to
I think we can say that they already knew what God could do. They saw it in Egypt. They saw it when they left Egypt. They saw it all the way through the journey till this point. They saw the ability, the capability of God with no excuses. What else do we see here? Well, I'm getting ready to call on names here, and I know you guys don't want that. That's a smart man right there. The moment I said, he goes, I'm going to get my answer out real quick. Let's say that one more time. Not everybody has a heart of David, and that's a good point. So we have faith and sight, and then we have heart issues, which trigger these things. What else? Too good. 20% wanted to go in. 2 out of 10. What else? Yeah. Well, you have to bring that up now. No, I know. So we're not much different today. So establish something here real quickly here. Is this God's will for them to go into the promised land? It is. We have his word, his statements. He's declared this is his will. Is Moses up for this? Yes. Moses is taking what God told him, giving it to these. And there's 12. These aren't just 12 anybody. These are 12 leaders. These people have influence over their tribes. Very strong influence. So what they say or do will influence a lot of people here. We can see that. What else do we see so far in this? They knew the history of them, didn't they not? Yeah. Okay, so they were the spies coming back. This is important. Were the spies coming back and lying to the people of what they saw? No. They were telling the truth. These are wicked people. These are bad people. These are giants. We are small. They're great. They were telling the truth. By the way, go ahead, Vonda. Okay, so God's not in the picture. So they're bringing the truth. Were these enemies greater and mightier and stronger? Absolutely. All the things that we go up against will usually be greater and stronger than us. Why would we need God if we were stronger and mightier than they? God always puts us in these situations to find out where the heart is and how we will operate, whether by sight or by faith. And our dependence upon him, correct.
There's another thing here too, brother, and that is not just godly leadership, but anybody that believes God is going to have to stand fast, even in the face of this kind of thing, because we talked about God's testimony here.
Correct.
Of his faithfulness and so forth. And somebody has to be around to pick up the pieces of the people that didn't believe God, and they got egg on their face later on and so on, because they didn't want to do it.
Okay, so they've spent a long time. They've been there for 40 days. They're bringing back one cluster of grapes. Now, I don't go shopping all the time. I have bought grapes before at Aldi's and Walmart, And I didn't need somebody else to help me bear those between us, one cluster. I mean, one cluster. I've grabbed some that are big clusters, but I've never had one cluster that was so big it took two men to bear them. So it gives you an idea of the abundance, okay, that they were being given. What else before we go on to day two? They're bringing an evil report. What do you see here? We have in the story, we have God, we have Moses, we have the 12 men, spies, and then we have the congregation. These congregation is responding to these tribes. And what is Moses doing in the midst of all of this? Huh? Nothing. Why didn't he say, you know what? God called me to lead this and we're going in, period. I'm sorry, I'm using that because that's a reality. There are preachers today that are going to drive people. And the weird thing is that Moses could have done that and been saying, I'm driving you guys to do the right thing. But he stepped back and he let the people under the influence of 10 men have their way. Sometimes you have to have let the people. Yeah. Now it's interesting that you'd bring that up because I could bring my older brother here today. And I could have him walk around and show you everybody his hands. And right here and right here, he still, from when he was 4 years old, we had a wood stove and they told him, don't touch it. He went up like this and went like that. And that kid, as a kid, he screamed bloody murder, but he's older than me and he's 40-something. And he still has the scars right here because when they said don't, he did. And here, God's saying do, and they are don'ting, okay? The do's and don'ts. Let's go on here, see what else we can pull up here on some of this here. Huh?
I think you said that Moses stepped back. Maybe Moses knew that if he told them to do it, that they'd go in half-heartedly, and they wouldn't fight to give it their best.
Well, we're going to get into that a little bit here. I want to back up. I don't want to say that Moses is stepping back. Moses is just observing. He knows what God wants. He knows what the people want. And he's in between. And it's amazing. We're going to get into it here in just a minute here. Let's look at what we had on day number two. We had that. Day two, the nation of Israel rejected God. Very, very important title on day two. It looked like they rejected the land. It looked like they rejected Moses. It looked like they were rejecting the two spies that didn't agree. They were rejecting God. Remember when we read verse number 1 of chapter 13? It was God giving the directions. It was God giving the command. This is very important to understand that it's not the circumstances and it's not the situation because they are telling the truth. It has everything to do with what you believe about God, the Ancient of Days. Let's look at a couple of questions here in chapter 14. Let's read. And it said, and all the congregation, verse 1, lifted up their voice and cried unto the, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we possess, which we pass through to search it, is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Question one, what did the spies report when they came back from their 40 days journey? Real quick, what did they report? Did they say that the land was good? They sure did. It had nothing with the land as an issue. It was the inhabitants of the land. Question two, how did Moses and Aaron react when they saw the Israelites' sinful response? Huh? Fell on their faces. They got down on their hands and knees and put their faces to the ground. Maybe even went prostrate. We don't know. What stopped the Israelites from stoning four men? Huh? The Lord. The Lord steps in. All right, who wants to trigger some thoughts here? There's a lot of things going on in my mind. So I got to be quiet.
The shield of faith.
Shield of faith. Yeah. All right, who?
God, the shield of faith.
He is. God, the shield of faith, is protecting these four men. I mean, think about that. As a shield of faith, he's protecting these four men because of their belief in him. They have some foundational truths. What else do we see here? Glenn. Correct. Correct. No, no. Once you get out of what God's will be, it's amazing how quickly it goes downhill fast. You become angry.
Everything God does for them, they still rather be slaves.
That's true. That's just amazing. It's amazing. We're going to see them do some stupid stuff here through this whole story. What else do we see here? You got two men backing and standing behind two men. I want you to let that sink in. You have two men supporting two men that are called of God to lead that Israel's against a multitude, a nation of people. Who's right? The four or the many? And we can see how people get into mob mentalities. And we are so great in number, we have to be right here.
Can we carry that forward to the Bema Seat judgment? We're going to be with the Lord. Who is he going to reward? Those that believed him and walked with him? Or those that didn't? They're all saved. They're all being there. But go ahead.
No, you're right. I'm just thinking, as we move through here, what were the statements that were being made from the ones who are rejecting God? There were some statements made that we were reading that were being triggered by fear, not faith.
They wanted to go backwards. They wanted to go back to Egypt, getting captive. We have a better shot over there than sticking with God.
Correct. Would they have better shot back there at Egypt? Why not? The army's gone, right? Yep. What else do we see here? What else was triggered by fear? They wanted to make a man a captain. They wanted to head back. What else were they fear triggering in them?
They were afraid for their wife and children.
Ah, there it is. This is a family affair, man. This is the family matters. We're afraid that what we go in, what they will do to our wives and what they will do to our children. Is that legitimate, by the way? Correct. Correct. I don't think that it's wrong to think about your family in this situation. But thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Because, and by the way, who gave you the family? Matter of fact, the Bible says in the New Testament, Jesus says, if you don't love your me more than your father, mother, and your children. He goes, you can actually deny me. Now, he's not saying that we should hate our family, but there is a priority of him first, and that he's the one that's doing the leading. He's the one that's giving the direction. He's the one that's doing the giving. They were afraid of what the enemy would do. That's going to come back to bite them because they verbalized it. That's God's going to basically, when we get into chapter 14 here a little bit farther, it's going to be based upon, okay, what you guys were afraid would happen, I'm going to give you what you said was going to happen, you know. You remember another time when people verbalized something that they shouldn't have verbalized that had to do with the Lord? I mean, we could probably say there's a lot, but how about in the New Testament? Crucify him! Crucify him! His blood be upon us. And then they should have stopped right there. And our children. To put a curse on your family. Their concern, and I agree with you, Paul, about having that concern being in that hour. Their concern for their family was bringing a curse on their family. Because of their unbelief. And by the way, I want you to notice God's pretty hard on them here in this story. Why was he so hard in his judgment on them? Anybody have any idea? God tells us why. How many things, you're right on track there, Glenn. How many things had God done before for them? How many times? No. 10. He says, these 10 times they've been rebellious, they've been this, they've been that, and it was on the 10th time or the 11th time that God says, he never did anything for them. Remember, they murmured and complained. Okay, let's bring water out of the rock. They murmured and complained. Okay, I'm going to give you food, you know. And he did these things and never, ever chastened them. This is the time where it's, okay, this is it.
It was all humanly impossible. Everybody.
Yep. Surely we're not that bad, are we? It's going to be interesting to read the story of our generation and how we respond and families and all that kind of stuff. It is. You're right. You're right. Correct. No, you're right. You're right. You're right on that. I'm glad I know the rest of the story. Amen. I do. Let's look at it here. The Lord judged the nation of Israel. He's going to judge them here on day 3 here. And we don't have time to read verse 10 to 45. That's for sure. But look at the questions here. Did God allow the Israelites to kill Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb? Everybody said?
Yes.
Who said yes? Nobody did. Just checking on you guys. And did the Lord forgive Israel? What's it say here? He did forgive them, but what? He punished them. Question three. Did the people repent and accept the punishment God gave them? No. Now, with that being said, let's carry on a little bit more into the story here. Helen, you made mention of something here just a second ago. He could have what? He could have wiped them all out. Y'all believe that God had the power to do that? Do you think that God had ever even think a thought like that? Huh?
Because Moses argued with him about it later. Or Moses Margaret argued about it before they got to this point. When they were in the wilderness, and God says, I'll just make a nation out of you, from you. And Moses got his face, no, Lord, that the people will hear that you didn't, that you let him die in the wilderness. And so he didn't.
It's just you and me. It's just you and me. Let's talk about this.
I'm sorry, I'm wordy.
People are thinking, like, where do you go to church to find stuff like this happening? No, it's good. I think that it's something that we have to almost discuss sometimes one-on-one. What actually was happening there? Was God saying, I can annihilate all of these people and we can start all over here? Could he do that? Why would he bring that up? Was he going to do that? If Moses would have said, I could be the one that you start with me, you know? Moses is the one that's dealing with this, right? Folks, imagine having to deal with people like this. It makes you want to go into the ministry, doesn't it? And when God was bringing it up, he wanted to think about starting all over. What was the reason for that?
To make sure Moses
what?
Stayed humble.
Stayed humble? Okay. What else? Anna. Don't tell me I'm going to start calling names. I like this, huh? At least I'm not bringing a microphone to you, huh? What else do we see here? Why would God do that? And by the way, what happened? Why did God not do it? John. Huh?
He is merciful.
Merciful. What else?
He also promised to bring the people, those people, into the land.
Okay, so he couldn't destroy them all because he already made a promise he can't go against his word. God who cannot lie, the Bible says. We've got his mercy. What else? You guys are talking about the divine aspect. Your dad's pointing at you.
They were his chosen people.
They what?
Were his chosen people.
Very good. They were his chosen people? Did he really choose them?
Yes.
Yeah. What else? One person intervened. Am I right or wrong? Who? How do you know I was done with that? One person intervened. Who intervened? Moses. I want that to sink in. We don't question God's mercy, that he chose them, all of that is our God. He is immutable. He doesn't change. But God listened to a man. And I would say God was pretty upset at this hour. And yet he listened to a man by the name of Moses. And the Bible tells us that Moses was the meekest man probably ever outside of Christ. I'd love to keep going, but we're almost out of time here. Let's find out. The Lord calls people to worship with a believing heart. Why should the Lord be worshipped? Who can tell me real quick? He's a great God and a good God. Man, that answer is almost something you'd have found written here. It was so precise. It is. How did the Israelites test the Lord in the wilderness? Ungrateful. What else?
Unbelieving.
What else? What did you say, Glenn? All right. Provoking him. The Bible uses a word. No? Well, it uses that, but in our story, it uses a word. It's called presumption. The sin of presumption, of presuming on God. How did the Israelites presume on God? God says, there's the promised land. It's yours for the taking. I'm giving it to you. Go get it. And they come and they say, we can't take it. It's too great for us. We don't have the ability. They're looking at themselves, and what they're stating is true if they're not looking at God. They're just saying that they couldn't do it. So did they go into the promised land to get it at that point in time? No. So they come back, they realize after God chastens them that maybe they made a mistake and decide to do something else. What did they decide to do besides Helen? Or I'll have to get that chair out. What did they decide to do? Is that a hand raised there? Huh? Okay, they had that, came to that, but we're past that now. What else did they decide to do? Some of them decided to gather together and do what? Say it again. They were going to go ahead. We'll go ahead and do what God said to do. Correct? They decided, okay, maybe we made a mistake. Let's go ahead. Oh, I'm going that way. And let's go ahead and go in. God wants us to go in. Let's go ahead and go. And Moses tells them what? No. Can we miss our God-called opportunities? Sure can. I wonder how many we may have missed. By the way, they went against, go in, we're not going. Don't go in, we're going. That's how we are. Some of them were smitten in the way, were killed, correct? Why were they killed for doing what God had originally wanted done? He wasn't with them. Moses and the ark stayed in the camp, and they went against the authority of God's man, who was a humble man who had just interceded for them, not to be annihilated. What else? Real quick. Got about 3 minutes here. Day number five, one must believe in Jesus to enter God's rest. Because of the time, we're out of time. Let me bring this back to you real quickly here. Got about 2 minutes. What ended up happening? How does this story end today? They don't go in. What's the deal? 40 years. Now, how did God come up with 40 years of wandering? 1 year for every day. Think about that. Let's say that you and I decide to disobey God on a clear command. And for 1 day that we are not doing what He gives us, this span to repent and get things to do the right thing. And then for 1 day we get 1 year of issue. That's a long, could be a long haul. So 40 years because of each day they were in the land, saw what God had given them, and yet they did not claim it. What are they going to do then since they're not going into the land? Wander in the wilderness for 40 years until Till they what?
Till every last one of them die.
I don't agree with that.
Well, not for the four.
Huh? Caleb and Joshua did not die. So by the end of the 40 years, the Bible says that Caleb was how old? When he was 85, if you remember, his eyes were not dim and all that. That means how old was he when this happened? He was in his 40s. He was about 45 years old, give or take. So they were the oldest ones that were going in their 80s. How old would be the youngest going into the promised land? Mathematicians out there?
Less than 60.
Huh?
Less than 60.
Well, yeah, less than 60.
So they'd be in there.
So anybody that was 19 got to go in.
Yep.
So they're 59. And anything that was born during that time, you know. So we see clearly that God was cleaning house of those that didn't want it and didn't trust him. While their kids and their grandkids, which they were fearful of, get to go in. And 40 years later, were there still walled cities there and giants, and they still needed God's help? Yeah. Now let me close out with just one thought here. They could have been enjoying this place, this blessing, for 40 years, listen, with their children and their grandchildren. That's what walking by sight will rob you of. That's what not carrying, and I'm not bringing it up because Don did, but that's what's not grabbing onto your shield of faith. And letting it defend, letting him be your shield and your defender will cost you in the long run. May we not miss God's blessings that he gives us. And may we not make excuses. And may surely we not bring our children and our children's children into it. Amen. Next week, Israel rejects God's prophet and his priest. Another interesting story, man. The ground opens up, swallows them. But you know, this is all fake stuff, right? This is all true stories, folks. This is from the God who cannot lie. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Keep each other in prayer this week. Lock your shields together, if you would. And till everybody gets up, and then we'll close in prayer.